and welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf podcast, a podcast by a group of fancy French princes
who
have way too many board games. I'm Tom, and I'm here with
Justin,
Adam,
and Debbie.
And today,
I feel very privileged to be a prince.
You in France, and not you bad. Should. And today, we are discussing our playthrough of The Castles of Burgundy. Which edition is this that we've got? How old is that box?
2014, I think?
Yeah.
That was from 2014?
2011.
2011, oh.
That's from 2011?
2011.
It's the original edition. The original edition.
Yeah, it looks like... It's like ass.
It's a little lackluster.
I love how, like, dull it looks, and they've just got that big blue, like, Ravensburger thing just, like... Right across, about a tenth of the box.
It's just a nice royal burgundy color.
It's not a looker, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't know what any Ravensburger game is, though.
That's kind of their thing, isn't it?
They're fairly subdued.
Well, because they're jigsaw puzzle people, right?
Well, that's true.
They're the jigsaw puzzle company, and so I think they're very used to just having a very simple box.
And a piece count. And
They know their demographic.
People who play puzzles, or people who make puzzles, play puzzles. What do you do with puzzles?
I think you make them.
You build them, I guess?
You build them.
Yeah, you don't play them.
I guess you can't
assemble.
Yeah. Because the puzzle can only be made once, but then you can build as many times as you want.
What?
Dude. Are you high?
Was that some sort of random philosophical statement that I don't
really
understand?
I'm not sure. But as is often the case, it is not the outside that counts, but what's on the inside. And but first, more of the outside. What does the back of the box say there, Debbie?
15th century princes from the Loire Valley devote their efforts to strategic trading and building in order to bring their estates prosperity and prominence throughout Burgundy. This exciting game is challenging and brings out the competition for an evening of fun.
I agree with some of that.
Yeah.
That was a very non-specific statement.
Yeah, no kidding.
Doesn't tell you anything
about
the game.
What do you know about this game? Well, without looking at the pictures, absolutely nothing. The pictures has a lot of hexes. This is going to be a lot of hexes.
There's no trading, is there?
Only with the board.
There's a trade action, but it's not really.
There's no trading between players.
Okay, because for a second there, I thought maybe I was missing something. I'm like, wait a second, strategic trading? Is that why I lost this game?
Yeah. Wow, there you go. Yeah, we were all trading behind your back.
Damn.
It was a secret.
So you're playing with total assholes. That's why.
That's cold.
All right. I want to have the playmat as a reference.
I totally forgot about the backside of that board.
Oh, the backside of this board is fucking glorious. It's just the developer's logo in like a checkerboard with white squares. It looks like an optical illusion or a nightmare. It's pretty funny.
It looks like a very old background you would find.
The thing that baffles me about that, yeah, it's like you right click on the image and you say make wallpaper, just paste it over and over. But it just baffles me because they could have just left it white, but they made it this. Oh,
they could have done anything with it. It's put one of those big blue Ravensburger
things on it. It's not big enough for you to actually know what it is. Like
you got to look
hard enough on your eyes that you have to like.
Pretty horrific.
You want to look away.
So when you bust out this game, you're gonna look at all the pieces and you're gonna say, what have I done? What have I done wrong to deserve this? And you're going to be presented with there's going to be a main board, and you've got individual player boards. So every player gets a player board and some colored dice matched to whatever color they want. And the setup is, once you figure it out, is relatively self-explanatory. There's a bunch of hex tiles that get set up on this board depending on how many players you have. There's six sections of regular tile spots that have their color coded. There's green one. The dark green ones are castles. Tan ones are the city buildings. Blue is water buildings. Green are pastures. Yellow are technologies. And then in the middle, you've also got these like black ones, which are the black market, which you can access by trading in certain amount of resources that you get every once in a while.
How the hell did you memorize what all those colors were?
Because
you liked
cause,
this cause a lot more than I thought you did.
I remember what all the colors meant.
God, I don't.
Because I'm a fucking boss, obviously. So there's six sections of these, and they are going to correspond to faces on the dice. There's also, just looking here, you know, like order tracker, round trackers, some other stuff.
The point tracker that point has things. A little blip at the end. The point tracker
is pretty funny because it has like a snake hat with your... It's like they started building. It's like they're all gonna be 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter squares, and it's like goes all around until they end. They're like, they reach 83, and they're like, "Oh fuck,
we haven't left enough room.
We have 10 centimeters, and we need 20 numbers." It's pretty funny. Anyway, so you set all this this crap up. You figure out your player order. You stack these dowels on top of each other. Yeah,
I thought they're just little wooden cubes.
Yeah. They're not cubes, they're circular.
Are they?
They're like cylinders.
Cylinders, that's the word. Your player board comes with Catan-like sort of board, which has colors on it. So in the middle, so if you're playing, there's two sides. There's the advanced side and there's the regular side. On the normal side, or the regular side, the beginner side, I guess I'll call it from now on, you've got a green space in the middle where it's recommended that you put your first castle because everybody starts with one thing on there. And you've got some blue on there, and you've got some, I think I missed a gray.
There's mines.
There's mines in here somewhere.
Get you those silver.
City tiles, and they all match the ones that are on the board. And the basic play of the game is that you roll two dice at the beginning of the round, and then you go from the first player around, and they get to pick one of the two dice that they have, and decide whether they want to add these worker tiles, which are plus or minus ones to the die rolls. And you can basically take from these sections. So if I have a one, I can take one of the four tiles that are next to the one space on the main board and put it in my thing. Or if you already have tiles in your thing, in your like little, your queue of three, you can take one of those and put them on a one that matches the color that you of a square on your board or a hex on your board, as long as it's touching something that's already there. And in this way, you sort of build out from the middle castle towards the edges, trying to fill up regions, which gets you points, as well as putting down things gives you different benefits. So like putting down farmland gives you points based on how many cows there are on that hex, as well as like if they're attached to a hex that also has cows, you also score those cows.
Yeah, it becomes a pasture.
You get more cow. The more cows, the more points.
But if those cows ever mix with chickens, then...
Yeah, just...
Well, you don't get the bonus points.
You don't get those bonus points.
No. That's just absurd.
Dark green tiles are always castles, and they let you just get... it's like a free action of any kind that you want.
Yeah, you get a free dice, more or less.
The other kind of important-ish one, because they're all very specific, the blue ones, the ocean tiles, let you grab trading tiles from the center board, which go onto the board at the start of every round through rolling a die. And you can put those in your like top left-hand corner. And if you put down a different building or roll a different die, you can sell those later on for more points. It's just like everything you do lets you get a tile or put down another tile or get points or get the resources that you need to get the black market ones in the middle. And pretty much you just do that. Oh, you can always spend a die to get workers, and some of these buildings get you workers, and
you can use workers to modify dice.
Yeah, you were use the workers to modify dice. And also there's the yellow ones, which give you bonuses at the end of the game. And that's pretty much it. You just keep going around. When all of the goods are gone from the space, because you sort of, once you get around to the first player, they put down a new good that you can pick up with the blue tiles. Once those are all gone, the round's over. You keep going until those are gone, and then the whole round ends, and you start over again. You do like five of those, and bing, bang, boom, you're done.
Five rounds, and each round has 10 turns?
Yeah, I don't remember if it's based on the player count, though. So.
Oh,
The back of these player mats, there's also the advanced side, which sort of randomizes the whole situation. Then you go from there, but more or less, every tile that you put down gives you a benefit of some description that you can use to sort of build up your point system. And the yellow tiles give you points at the end of the game based on what you've done. You're kind of just trying to fill up regions kind of as soon as you can, because the more regions you fill up earlier, the more points you'll get. And yeah, there's a little bit of competition because the tiles that are on the board are the ones that are on the board for that round. They don't get refilled until everything is said and done.
Mm-hmm. And there's limited like there's certain that are very limited.
Yeah, like castles are very limited and mine buildings are very limited. So there's always a little bit of competition for certain ones.
Yeah.
And you don't always have the resources to go out and just buy whatever you want from the middle.
Yeah.
If
it sounds confusing, I think that's probably the most common.
There was a lot of confusion when we opened that manual and we started setting this thing up.
Yeah, I'm willing to say that that's probably the biggest complaint that I've ever heard about this game, is a lot of people say, like, when you first open it, there's so much going on. It's so convoluted when you're trying to figure it out. But once you get it, you get it. Like, it's...
Yeah. There's a lot to kind of digest initially, but I do like that pretty much everything on the player board just tells you what to do.
Yeah.
There's this, once you kind of understand what all the little symbols mean, you can just be like, oh, what's this do? I look at my player board. Oh, it lets me get a thing. Well, I want that.
Yeah. So if it sounds confusing, it's not just you. It's really not the easiest thing to explain.
Yeah. There was, we watched a 15-minute rule explanation in order to kind of get a hold of it.
And we still didn't really get it.
We watched two different ones
because one of them wasn't very well spoken.
There were a few things that were missing, like key points that I remember.
And things, because we also kind of breezed through, like we scanned the rule book quickly to pick up any major stuff as we were watching one of these rules videos. And as the first video ended, we're like, well, they didn't really talk about this section of the rule book and this section of the rule book. So then we decided we would go find a second rule book, a rule video. We couldn't find one by Rodney Smith, which I think probably would have been the best because he seems to make the best rules videos out there through the Watch It Played series.
My approach to rules are usually brute force and fail a couple times.
BFI, brute force and ignorance.
Yeah. If you look up any board game and just include Watch It Played in your search bar, there's a good chance you'll come up with a Rodney video.
Did we miss anything about how it's played?
I think we pretty well got it.
Put things down in your city,
yeah, get I mean,
points
there's,
based on what they are. There's a few kind of goal points to be the first to fill things up.
There's more point stuff to go over, but I think in general.
Yeah, in general, you roll two dice. You do a thing based on what those numbers come up, which kind of limits your options. You buy buildings. You slap them down in your city as long as they can connect. It's a seemingly very complicated game that gets easier once you actually get into it.
It doesn't help that it kind of looks a bit like ass. I mean, like all of the tiles are like they're color coded, but I don't know.
They're not very vibrant, right?
It's not appealing necessarily. Oh, it's just kind of boring.
Yeah, like a boring ass.
Well, so I think that's part of the reason why it got re-released in 2019. So 2019, they did like a revamp of the game. Kind of reminds me of the same thing as Fury of Dracula, right? Where they went and kind of redid the art and stuff like that. Right. I think it's very similar to what they did with this, and I'd be very curious to see it. Because apparently they did brighten it up quite a bit, because it is a fairly common complaint, I think.
They fiddled with the hue knob.
Yeah. Because it is a very kind of flat color.
Well, and it follows that typical thing where it's like, what is this game about? Farming. Oh yeah, let's take the most boring thing we can think of and make that the theme for our board game.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you make, I don't know, whatever century French
14th century French countryside.
French countryside look exciting when it's going to be green and it's going to be brown and
there's going to be some hedges.
There's going to be some tan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, don't take that as too much of a complaint, but it's not very appealing to look at. I would be interested to see what the newer version looks like.
Yeah. Looks good on according to Google Images.
Okay. it's something that while I appreciate it, it doesn't take up a lot of table space. Like everything is kind of contained onto the main player board or your little player boards, but it is a game that I could see almost benefiting from being larger, which is not something I would usually say about a lot of games. Just to add a little more detail to some of the tiles, a little more.
Yeah, I think that they probably could blow up the images on the tiles because the images on the tile are pretty tiny.
Well, they need to make the tiles bigger, if only to make it seem like the chickens are not the same size as the cows.
It's just a matter of perspective.
Those
They're just really close to the camera.
Monsanto chickens.
Monsanto chickens. GMO, baby.
Yeah, it's it's interesting to me. Like, I really appreciated when we were playing the game and when we were laying everything out that there was the exact number of pieces for the game. Like, exact number.
For a four-player game, at least.
For a four-player game.
For a four-player game. But that also does then lend itself to, oh shit, what if one goes missing? Because there is a lot of bitty pieces to this game.
I don't know if I think that might have just been, you know, providence that happened. Because there were a few turns where I didn't buy buildings, where, I mean, if everyone bought buildings every single round, you might actually... do the refill step.
Yeah, because you fill everything up to the exact number, and then you wipe them all, and then you relay them, and then you wipe them all.
That's true.
The black ones, you're right. So the black ones, I agree, there must be... No, because there still has to be a set number. Yeah. So that's the only thing that I can see, because there's a lot of fiddly pieces with this. If there's like... And that's one thing that I typically am not the biggest fan of is when there's...
Precise numbers?
No, when there's a million tokens.
Oh.
And it's like, sure, the player boards don't take up very much room on your table, but when you have to go and like spread out 15 piles of like different types of tokens and you have to separate them all and know what they all are.
Yeah, the mid-game cleanup and relaying of the entire board state is somewhat tedious.
It is. It is. And it's, I mean, that's not the most uncommon thing, I think, in a Euro game.
I don't think it's not the worst, though. Again, sorry, just talking about like
the pieces.
The pieces. I mean, they do. So to clarify, you do scale the pieces based on the number of players. So just.
Which is super clear on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice. Really appreciate that.
But I'm just saying that you. Yeah, yes, exactly. So you will have exactly the proper number of, and the clarity is there because the pieces, each of the hexes, when you place them on you could really call the market board, would that be
crazy to say?
But when you place them on the market board, each one of the hexes on the market board has a number, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
So it tells you exactly.
And if you're playing with that player count, then you fill up those. You know, anything of that number and below. So if you're playing with two players, you just fill the twos. Threes, twos and threes. And then fours, you fill up the entire board. It's good. It's well organized in that regards.
And I think that's one of the reasons that once we actually knew the rules, it was very intuitive or very easy to find out what everything does because everything is nicely laid out on either the player board or the main state board.
Well, that's what I appreciate about a lot of Euro games is that you don't need to check
the FAQ or the manual or find out what this keyword means.
It's typically right in front of you. Yeah. Like they typically lay the game out very well in front of you, and you don't need this like player aid card that has like 17 steps on it. It's usually
the 7-step process of your turn.
Yeah, it's usually on the board in front of you. Fairly clear, as long as you like. I mean, the first time you look at it, you're like, "Oh my god!"
There's a lot to digest, but that is, yeah, that's. I've even put that in my notes. Like, that's one of my main likes of this one. Is it just everything is there? It's all in front of you. The only thing you ever need to check the manual for is what does this technology building do? But that really only happens at the end of the game. So it's.
Yeah, but even...
There's a couple that change things during the day. Yeah. Like, there was... I had one that allowed my workers to do more. Like I was allowed to edit a die by 2 instead of 1 for one worker or something to that
extent. Yeah, certain things like that. But it is fairly clear on the tile.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Which is really nice. Everything is laid out nice and clear, if boring.
One thing I'd like to actually address, like, before we get too far into this... I'd like to know everybody else's opinions. Is I've heard Wingspan is the Castles of Burgundy killer. Like, is that, does anybody feel that?
I would rather play Wingspan.
You'd rather play Wingspan than this. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But in my opinion,
I don't think it kills it though, because I think that there's mechanisms in this game.
Different games.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely a very different game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I think I
saw that a couple places. I struck me as super odd. I was like, why would you say that this is a Castles of Burgundy killer? You're comparing apples and oranges here, in my opinion. And I definitely think there's room for both in a collection.
I think there is, but I think that what it comes down to is Castles of Burgundy has been a very centric kind of cornerstone piece to the Euro game.
Sure.
Right? This has been, I think, a lot of kind of bigger, you know, heavily gamers would bring this out, I think, on a regular basis. And this is their, like, the mainstay in their collection that you can always go back to. What, like the Euro
Magnum Opus?
Yeah. And I think that Wingspan is taking that place. I don't think it takes the place, like, I don't think game-wise, I don't think functionality-wise they take the place, but I think that they're saying that Wingspan is going to become that game that kind of just sits in your collection that people are always going to have and they're always going to kind of default to.
Yeah, like your go-to Euro game.
Exactly. I think that's what it is more than comparability between the two games.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Wingspan is a much more approachable game than this.
Sure.
I think after you, as long as you have somebody that's played this before, I think you can easily explain this to anybody.
Well, I didn't mean the rules. I just meant from a pure visual kind of just initial approachability.
Yes. And I think that's probably part of the reason why Wingspan is going to kind of move in on that ground, because it's pretty, it's got really weird random.
It's got, so, I mean, it's got little fun little eggs and stuff. Yeah.
So is that why, like, you know, speculation here, is that why the 2019 Castles of Burgundy edition came out? Like, with again, just from looking through Google Images, it appears to be brighter colors, a little more clean.
The reason why Castles of Burgundy got re-released, and it got re-released the way that it did, from what I've read, is it does have a lot to do with the fact that one of the biggest complaints about this game is how it looks. It's
very unassuming.
It is not it's exciting.
Very dull.
It is, yes. Yeah. It is very kind of mute. And sure.
It's also like it has a few expansions to it, right? Like you were saying, there's 11.
There's
expansions.
11. So in the 2019 release, there are 11 expansions, 10 of which were previously released as promos. So an expansion could be like one tile.
Oh, okay.
or a promo expansion. Or, okay. You know, maybe there's like a card or a die or something that you can get.
I mean, some point you just like to get more sales, you have to just release this thing because you don't want to have it be, well, I got to buy this thing. And then I've got to also, if I like it, I'm also on the hook for 11 million promos or whatever, which is why like they have the Carcassonne big box and all that stuff. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that this is probably, for Ravensburger, I think that this is a, I don't know, it's like they're, it's like
a show pony.
Yeah. Like and I think they want to keep that up, right? Like, I think they want to keep up the name that this game has made.
Yeah.
And the impact that it's made in kind of that, in that Euro community.
Yeah.
Cause I know we've had it forever for big, like Adam and I being huge Euro gamers. We've had this in our collection and have not played it. And it really, honestly, I can truly say that it comes down to the fact that when you're looking through your boxes and you see like really bright colored boxes and you see things that have like exciting artwork and exciting pieces on it, you pick those first. And it's unfortunate. And because it is a very well made Euro game. It's extremely well made.
It's something that you never would have thought of, you know, and I guess that's it. Now that I've played it, and I've seen how it plays and maybe how it appears to scale so decently down to lower player counts, I could easily see this being a, like a staple two player game that we would pull out on a regular occasion. Now, with that being said, I think I may, especially considering that our copy of Castles of Burgundy is still in the shrink, I may try and sell it on the third party market. And
don't judge us, please.
Well, I may sell it on the third party market and go look for the 2019 edition.
At CGS Podcast, if you want a copy of In Shrink Castles of Burgundy.
Mint.
Absolutely.
Organic and shade grown.
Well, so yeah, seriously. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, hit us up on the Twitter first. Us up on the Twitter and we'll figure that out. Like,
because it is a really good game. I struggled with scoring this game because this is a really weird one for me. Because I really like this game and it's really well done, but for whatever reason, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. And I'm like, I would never get rid of it out of our collection, and I would never not play it. But it's not the kind of game where it's like when you have people come over and you're just like, hey, I want you guys to play this game.
So I was weird. I was thinking about that as you were talking, and I wonder if it has the same sort of thing that like old episodes of Seinfeld I've heard have this problem where like Seinfeld was like this big thing, this big moment in comedy history that everybody else has since then like taken a piece of. I wonder if it's something like that where like the Castles of Burgundy was so like formative enough that every other game that has a Euro aspect to it also does that same thing in a similar way, if not maybe better. And so it's hard to say, like, get excited about it because there's all these other places where you can go to get something that's a similar vein.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's
like you say, if you want to excite somebody that comes over, that maybe they've never played games, you want to introduce them to Euro games, like, you could show them, as you were talking about, Wingspan, or like if they're into goblins and stuff, you can give them Terra Mystica, or like any number of, like, if they're into lighter stuff, there's, you know, Kingdom Builder and stuff like that, where you can get to these things that they all do something that's a little bit more approachable or a little bit more interesting.
Well, and it's almost like the more you say that, the more I start to think that it's like this game, it has a theme, but it's not in your face, and it's not like what you're doing in the game is not, like, it's just not really theme heavy. It's mechanic heavy.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the reason why it's not exciting. You're not really
building castles in Burgundy. It's not like Castles of Mad King Ludwig where you're building a castle.
Yeah.
You are just happen to be in Burgundy.
And you're
putting down a castle maybe every once in a while.
And that's like, it's a very interesting predicament for me.
It is a very technically well-made and excellently designed game. But I also am not excited about it.
But do you want to play it again? See, and that answer, that tells me that you and I are so different, because I do want to play it again.
I would play it again, but it wouldn't be the first thing I would grab for sure.
That's interesting. It's a very interesting predicament for me.
For me, like, I don't know, it's kind of like, it's like chess. Chess is a technically well-designed game, but it's not exciting.
Yeah, but it gets your, like, it gets the wheels turning, and it gets, definitely, like, yeah.
And I think it would depend what I was doing. It wouldn't be something that I would want to go over to someone's house to hang out with them and play Castles of Burgundy.
Yeah, good job, but Tom, for bringing this out.
Whatever. Well,
it wouldn't be my, like, my hey, first.
Hey, no, this is pretty sure
we had a vote.
Yeah. I guess what I mean is, like, I wouldn't want to have a bunch of people over and for a good time break out Castles of Burgundy.
Well, you couldn't really plan a night around playing with other, like, strictly Euro gamers.
Yeah, it would be something maybe if I was, you know, out in a cabin or something, and, you know, I would, you know, just play it at night just as like an intellectual exercise, but I wouldn't want to have a bunch of people over and just play it. There would be 100 other games I would go to first.
And I think that's the reason why Adam says that this is something that I think the two of us would play, because it's not like, I don't know, how do you explain that? When you're like, you get home from work, you don't want to like do something big and exciting. You just want to do something that's like stimulating.
I think you're right on there.
Yeah,
like, that's what I mean. I think, like,
it's called browsing Reddit. It's
like, that is not stimulating.
No, but it's like very stimulating, just in all the wrong ways.
It's a very good intellectually stimulating game. There's a good level of competition there, but it's not exciting. It's not something I would want to do with friends. But if it was just me and someone else,
we're not
having
friends.
A relaxing evening.
He only plays good. Castles of Burgundy with his enemies.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not a fun game.
No, but it's good.
It's not exciting.
Castles of Burgundy
is kind of boring. It's not high energy. It's not high energy by any stretch. But
it's the game that Justin brings out when he wants to break out with somebody.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, first I beat you in Castles of Burgundy, then I dump your ass. See you later.
There's the door. Please don't come back.
That's it. To France with you.
Good God. All right. So, Adam.
God, if that's not Tom. I think we just found the episode title. It's broken out when you want to break out with someone. Sorry, what about Adam?
What do you think of the game?
I like it. I think it's a brilliant game. This is right up my alley. This is what I like to do. I find that it really gets the brain fired up and moving. You kind of have that chess-ish, not chess, but you get to what I'm saying, right?
Checkers?
The same kind of like mental stimulus of just,
but it's
like,
not super brain burny.
No, it's not like I don't find myself sitting there and staring at the board like I do in something like Five Tribes, which is another game I fucking love.
Five Tribes is a lot more fun.
Sure. But it's very different. I don't know that I could compare. Yeah. I mean,
it does well with just your limited options. If you have those two numbers, you can only do so. It keeps it from getting too analysis paralysis.
Sure, but I mean, a lot of times you do have multiple options, or you sit there and you're like trying to scout for multiple options in Five Tribes.
Justin finds a way to have analysis paralysis in every game,
except for Five Tribes. That one I was just like,
yeah, Justin with his analysis paralysis while playing Snap, and he just, you know, oh, I never win.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, I like it. I think this game's great. Doing some quick looking at it. First of all, Stefan Feld is a great designer. He's done a bunch of stuff that I already enjoy. Macau, Trajan, or Trahan, depending on who you talk to.
I've never even heard of that.
Stuff along those lines. I looked it up. There's a digital edition of this available as an app for your phone if you wanted to get it. It's also available in a digital edition on Steam, so you can pick it up and play online or just play against the computer if you're looking for some solo options.
But what about the Epic Game Store?
I don't know if it's on the Epic Game Store.
That was a joke, don't worry.
Yeah.
It was a weird plug / dig. I'm not entirely sure where that came from.
I don't know. Cut that, please.
The dice. Absolutely not. The dice in it are good because it adds a level of randomness, but you can mitigate the randomness with workers. If you have a stack of workers a mile high, you can make those dice wherever the hell you want it to be, right? Because you can use workers to make it so it is what you, so you don't feel completely hosed by not rolling what you need.
Plus minus wraps around, so if you go add a one to a six, it becomes a one.
Or take a one away from take a one away from a one, it becomes a six. Like,
there you go.
Which is quite nice.
It's interesting. I don't find that's done not super often. But.
No, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, it's...
Yeah.
The one...
This is weird. I don't know why I thought...
because it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
Dice, we have just brought up dice mitigation fairly often, I think.
I just think mitigation's important.
So it's nice to have. It's a nice thing to point out.
It's the only thing, like I said, it's very unassuming when you approach it. It doesn't look great from the outside, but it's absolutely
or the inside
incredible on the inside. Once you get into the play of it, I definitely feel that there is room in people's collections for both this and Wingspan. I am going to be actively pursuing a 2019 copy just for the updated graphics, the expansions already built into the box, that sort of stuff. The one thing that I did find kind of confusing in this game, and again, this is such a tiny nitpick, is that it doesn't play in a standard just go to the left
clockwise.
You don't just play clockwise, like it's all based on how many ships you have and stuff like that. Again, that is such a tiny minuscule gripe, but it's I don't know, I'm pointing it out.
I was also confused by that because it also felt like we weren't really sure when to start doing that.
Yeah,
because once everybody gets around once, then you like reset who the first player is and continue on from there. But if someone changes the order on the first turn, then you're just like, wait, who's next? Yeah. It can be a bit weird.
Which is funny, because Viticulture does that. Like, there's a couple games that do it, and for whatever reason in this game,
it just felt weird.
Yeah, it just seems to stick out a bit.
Like I said, it's really neither here nor there, but it's something that happened in our playthrough, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, honestly, it's ranked 15th overall on Board Game Geek, and I think
Do you know what that's out of? Out of pure curiosity?
Thousands.
Is it? Are we talking
about? Yeah, like we're talking about every single game that's on Board Game Geek, and
yeah.
they all get a ranking based on.
And as you can see, there's at least 300 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's many, many, many games.
Gotta catch them all?
This one's ranked 15. Yeah, rank 15 overall is pretty damn good.
That's when you're talking huge. About thousands of games. I'd be very curious to know what number one is. But okay.
I can tell you exactly. Well, you already know what number one is. It starts with a G and rhymes with Shmoom Shmaven. Shmoom Shmaven. Yeah, like it is the behemoth that has taken over the board gaming industry in the past few years. So, like,
Shmoom Shmaven.
Yeah, yeah, weird title. It starts with a G. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. I like it.
You might as well.
Okay, I give this thing like a 9.5. I think that this is like. Absolutely. I haven't stopped thinking about it since we played it. I've wanted to play it again. I think playing it with two players, I think that like lower player counts may make this game slightly better because it would eliminate part of that shifting first player thing, right? Because you'd know, well, it's either my turn or it's my opponent's turn. So if it's not my opponent's turn, it means it's my turn. If it's not my turn, it means it's my opponent's turn.
It makes it much more competitive for the record. Like, when you play with a two-player game, there's only one mine.
Well,
it would make it a much more... This strikes me as the kind of game that when we had that episode where we did the interview with Greg and we were talking about two-player games.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, like, games that are not necessarily made for two-player games, but are, like... two-player games. I think this is probably the type of thing that he was talking about.
Yeah, I'd like to play this two-player. I think that this one that you may see on stream, on my stream, with Debbie. Yeah, that's it. 9.5. I like it. I think it's great. I want to play it again.
Yeah.
Done. Lower player counts, better and higher.
Yeah.
Room for both Wingspan and this in a collection. Those are the points to take away.
Tom, you haven't actually told us what you thought of this game.
Yeah, uninspiring, maybe is the most charitable way I'd put this. Again, yeah, I agree with everything. So I'm going to keep it short. It wasn't exciting. I think it's with four players, I think it's a bit long. Like I felt like when we did our playthrough, I felt like I was spending a lot of my time. Most of my fun moments were berating Justin for his long turns.
Yes.
So that's where my fun came from. Same kind of thing that I have with Wingspan is sometimes you can end up in, we were playing a 5-player game a couple days ago of Wingspan and it was like, all right, I just want to use my birds. Can I use my birds now? So I don't know. Maybe I just get bored easy, but it is worth mentioning that I, you know, sometimes the turns can take a little bit, even though you're sitting there, you can plan out what you do. You still can't really commit to anything until it's said and done because mm-hmm. someone might come and steal your shit. Yep. So you can only plan up to a certain amount of time and like there's not a lot you can do in between other people's things. That being said, it is still quite good. I had a good time. I think it would be a definite keeper if I had the 2019 version that looked a little bit more interesting because this is one that I think that you could break out with people who know how to play and get into it super quickly. With this particular edition, and considering that I have a million other things here, I think this is probably on the a pretty borderline, but probably a not keeper for me. But I mean, if you're into Euro stuff, like it's very good. It's a little bit too not exciting for me. Like I'll probably go for something else over something like this if you're in a new situation and the likelihood that I'm going to be playing with the same group over and over and over is pretty unlikely. And if that is the case, you guys are going to buy a 2019 copy of Castles of Burgundy anyway. So I don't really think that I need this.
Yeah.
So, and it's not super my thing, you know, building farms in the middle of French countryside is not exactly my jam. So it's probably on the borderline edge of not keeper in my collection, but it is still quite good. I mean, if you're into this sort of thing, you probably really would really like it.
It is a technically well done game. Like this is really good, really well developed. It definitely needed a little art direction because it's boring as all get out, but from the gameplay standpoint, I liked everything. Like I thought everything was well done. I liked that everything was on the player board. Once you got through the somewhat convoluted rule book, you understood everything fairly intuitively, but it was just boring for me. I don't know. It for me, it reminded me a lot of sort of Settlers of Catan stuff. Like, those are games that when I only had a few board games, like I had Axis and Allies and Settlers of Catan, so it was one or the other, and they saw a lot of play. And I can see that if you had very few board games, Castles of Burgundy, I can see this being a really great game to have out at, you know, maybe if you have like a cabin or like a getaway area, or I could see this in a hotel lobby. It's one of those kind of classic, simple Euro games, but that's still well done. It's much like you would see a chess set in a hotel lobby. It's just something that's accessible and that you can easily pick up, have a nice, relaxing evening. But this is not a game I would ever just bring out if I had friends over.
Tell your guests to that go so, chew on the fucking.
It is so weird because, like, as you were talking about something before, I was imagining when I was in Colorado in a cabin, like a cabin hotel.
Yeah.
And I was imagining that there was a copy of Castles of Burgundy. I'd be like, yeah, I'd play that with my wife.
Yeah. No.
It's so like, weird, you know what? You mentioned that.
This is something that I would, yeah, if you're in like a cabin or a hotel, it's like, you know, Get a cognac, settle down with Castles of Burgundy, have a nice relaxing time. But it's not something I would ever just bring out if I had friends over.
Cognac? What am I, Elon Musk? Holy shit.
Brandy?
Well, let's bring it down a little bit more.
Whiskey?
Malt liquor.
Malt liquor. Well, you know, a bottle of wine?
Malt liquor.
Well, I was thinking of something French, so I went with cognac. Okay, but yeah, sorry. You could have like a bottle of wine, you know, just, you know, set the mood and just have a nice relaxing evening.
Yeah, see, that sounds fantastic to me.
Yeah, but it is not something that I would ever break out if I had friends over. Just the same reason I would never pull out a copy of Catan anymore. Like, it just...
There's definitely better games than Catan.
There's just better games. There's more, you know, quote-unquote fun games, more engaging games if I have, you know, people over. Yeah, it's just, it's not for me, but it's still very well made. I won't buy it.
I won't do it.
If you own a hotel, I recommend it.
Yeah, you got a hotel.
Especially if you serve cognac or wine.
Yeah.
Maybe a brandy.
If you own a hotel and you're interested in a in-shrink copy of Castles of Burgundy at For the Win.
That's it, yeah.
So that's it. On those same lines, like, I would find it, I don't know if I would recommend this game, but unless you like kind of that Euro cerebral thing, and you have a very few board games, I think it's a great to pick up to kind of get into that kind of Euro thing and see if you like that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, if you have a bunch of board games, you already have like a set group, don't bother. Debbie?
So I at this point in time, I give this a 4. And so this is like, if you get the opportunity to play it, absolutely do it. Like 100%. I don't think you lose anything from trying this game. I think you gain a lot. And I think that it is the kind of game where you need to play it to decide if you're going to like it or not, because looking at the box is not going to tell you if you like it or not. Mm-hmm. This is not a,
it's
like,
mildly.
Well, but I, you know what? It's almost, I almost appreciate that in a sense, because there's a lot of games that you have to admit that I think a lot of us buy because we're like, woo, that's pretty.
Oh, for sure.
That's, and then it ends up being like a complete dumpster fire.
Terrible game, yeah.
So I mean, I'm like, I'm happy that the quality is inside the box, not necessarily outside the box. Like, that to me, I appreciate that. I think after playing this as a two-player game with Adam, my personal opinion of it probably will go closer to the 5 range. But at this point, I think I'm only because it just isn't exciting. Like, it's, and I can see that being something like a hurdle to get over, where it's like you guys said, like, it's sitting down and staring at a chessboard with, you know, your significant other or your whatever, a family member that you just want to spend time with, but you like want to keep the wheels turning and it's interesting and it's fun in that sense. It's just not exciting. So I kind of tend to lean towards the safer side of giving this a 4, but I'm in the same boat as Adam. I don't think I'd ever get rid of this out of our collection. I think it's something that sits perfectly for us, for our style. This is pretty perfect, regardless of whether it's the older drabbier version or the 2019 nicer version. Either one. I mean, mechanics are mechanics.
Yeah.
And it does it well. So, yeah, I'm going to end that on a high note and say that this is something that I think everybody should try. I think everybody should try this game because it is mechanically extremely well made.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah, it's just a little intimidating when you open it, a little daunting. But I mean, we say that about a lot of Euro games. Euro games are just scary AF sometimes.
Well, and the setup is like, the first time you punch this fucker out, you're going to be like, separate all those things into 16 different stacks based on their color. And you're like,
You're going to want a lot of Ziplocs.
Oh, yes, why? Why you do this to me?
Yeah, I think we took the plastic bags out of a different game.
Yes.
To bring into this game to separate everything. Because if you don't separate everything when you store this game, every time you pull it out, you have to fucking separate everything.
Yeah, you gotta add 10 minutes to your game for sure.
Yeah, and that I would not be happy with. That's where my complaint about the millions of different bits things comes in, is that just drives me bonkers.
Pondering. I wonder if the 2019 version comes with some sort of a vacuum form box organizer or something.
Yeah, that has like,
I would imagine, stacks. That seems...
I think that that's the way that the hobby is going, is into like game trays and that sort of stuff. Yeah. Organizers.
And the second you get the expansion, you just rip it out because there's no room.
Yeah, that's true.
But the 2019 version already comes with like 10 or 11 expansions in it, right?
And every game company, which I will never understand, sells their games in a box that is way too big for what it is. There's an insert in it that like creates this like block of dead space. And you're like, hey, what the fuck is this for? And I hate that. It drives me crazy. Give me a smaller box.
It's probably just the standard template box.
Bingo.
Yeah. That fits in stores.
You nailed it.
So I imagine that's the crutch.
You nailed it. Right there.
Yeah.
Because there aren't many games that do weird things.
So just to clarify, you haven't played this with Adam two-player yet?
No. Nope.
Have not done two-player yet. Okay. No.
But you're still thinking that it'll be amazing.
I think it will be, actually. Okay. I think it'll be
really
good.
I just wanted to make sure, because the sentence confused me.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I get confused easily. Mm-hmm. Divisions along the usual lines, it seems.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why I think this works. You got to have different viewpoints because not everyone has
team trash.
That's right. I want some glitz and glamour.
So, if you like this episode, the best thing you can do is like, subscribe, and share with a friend. Go on to your podcatcher or whatever, and subscribe. Give us a review. iTunes is kind of the de facto place, I think, still. So, 5-star reviews help us with discoverability and all that junk. And I think if we get to 50, we're gonna do some bonus stuff with our top 10 games to sort of give a little bit more of a context around the madness that lurks inside of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast Twitter account is @CGSPodcast. If you want to get at me specifically, it's @TeamRageTom. And please feel free to hit us up on there if you have any questions or let us know anything that you want to see or hear about, or just any sort of good comments. Help me feel better. That's all I want. Justin.
Hi. You can always reach me on Twitter @DontTrustJustin, and try to convince me that Castles of Burgundy is an exciting game.
If he doesn't respond to you, it's fine. He didn't respond to me either.
Oof.
That's true.
Oof.
I did on a different platform.
Jeez. You're the worst. Don't expect anything from him.
No.
He's bad at this.
You shouldn't trust me about that.
If you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram @ForTheWin, FORTHEWHYN. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ForTheWin, spelt exactly the same way. The more I think about it is once I find this copy of 2019 Castles of Burgundy, I might do some kind of a giveaway associated with the podcast for the OG 2011 copy of Castles of Burgundy. It's going to involve something to do with 5-star reviews and that sort of stuff. But I mean, we haven't even got to 50, so there's, we still got a long ways to go. So guys, get out there, Yeah, it's you know, I mean, if you want to see this, if you want to have the opportunity to win a copy of Castles of Burgundy, first thing we need to do is get to that 50 five-star review mark. Then we can discuss plans moving forward. So at CGS Podcast, once again, is the podcast Twitter. At For the Win is my Twitter. Get to following and let's have a conversation. Boom.
Wow, I get to follow the boom. So you can get me, Debbie, at Mrs. Wynn. That's at MRSWHYN. I am on Twitter and Instagram. And we also have the CGS podcast email, which is collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com. You guys can always send us an email there. Let us know what you think. If there's anything you think that we would like, don't like, anything, sorry, you don't like, but anything you think we might like, if you have suggestions of things that we should try.
You can tell us about stuff we're going to hate as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Right. That's, you know, waste your time. Good job. Beyond that, yeah, we hope to hear from you guys. And we'll see you next week.
You'll hear us next
week. Yeah, you'll hear us next week.
With another board game.
Oof.
Oh, God, they're coming through the gates.
Might even be fun.
It might be. Well, yeah. This one was fun. Yeah. You know, to each their own.
We had good times.
We did.
Just you gotta be up in a cabin secluded to play this with Justin.
With cognac.
With cognac.
Right before he dumps you.
Oh, yes. Jesus, if Justin asks you to play
Castles of Burgundy,
watch out.
Don't do
it.
And
you're a female, don't do it.
Yeah, start packing your things.
it's not a good going sign. Down. Fuck, should I be worried if we play?
Only with Justin.
Okay, yeah. So it's not you. Okay, this is good.
It's not you, it's me, Castles of Burgundy. It's
not you. Oh, nice, yes, there it is.
That's awesome.
All right, guys.
Thanks, we'll catch you next week.
Bye. Bye.